This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Let's begin our programme today with a request from Terry, one of our listeners, for a song called This Is Amazing Grace. It's sung by a blind teen with autism whose name is Christopher Duffley. In it he sings of all that Jesus has done for him. And what an awesome young man, not bemoaning his lack of sight, but thanking God for all his blessings. Here is This Is Amazing Grace.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Sing along. That you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order and makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love.
When I was a teacher, I remember that the children loved a poem called Please, Mrs. Butler by a man called Alan Alberg. Teachers, of course, don't need any reminding that there will always be some troubled child coming to report to them some kind of problem. That's what the poem's about, and I hope you enjoy it as I read it to you. And you'll see in a moment how the beginning of our gospel reading today sounds exactly like this poem. Please, Mrs. Butler, this boy, Derek Drew, keeps copying my work, miss, what shall I do? Go and sit in the hall, dear. Go and sit in the sink. Take your books on the roof, my lamb. Do whatever you think. Please, Mrs. Butler, this boy, Derek Drew, keeps taking my rubber, miss, what shall I do? Keep it in your hand, dear. Hide it up your vest. Swallow it if you like, love. Do what you think is best. Please, Mrs. Butler, this boy, Derek Drew, keeps calling me rude names, miss, what shall I do? Lock yourself in the cupboard, dear. Run away to sea. Do whatever you can, my flower, but don't ask me. From a singer with blindness to a composer now, who was blind, Helen Lemmel wrote our second song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. What a theme for someone who couldn't see in her life. But as Jesus taught, some have sight, but are inwardly blind.
Poor soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life Lord, full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Perfect salvation to tell. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange. In the light of his glory and grace, in the light of his glory and grace,
glory and grace.
I'm reading the Gospel in two parts today. This is the first part, and we'll see that there's great power in Jesus' name as a so-called outsider heals the sick by simply using Jesus' name. Mark 9:38-41. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward. Let me read the beginning of that reading again in the style of the poem we've just heard, as John, Jesus' disciple, sounds just like a Mrs. Butler's pupil here. Jesus, this man casts out demons, he's making a fuss, and we really don't know him, he's not one of us. Don't go and stop him, he's doing it for free. If he's not against us, he's not harming me. Isn't it strange, though, how territorial we can be? He's not one of us. The scribes and Pharisees thought that way about Jesus, too. We have such closed minds even today. Our way is right, theirs is wrong. Why? Because it's not our way. Our tight little circle knows best. Why? Because we do. Sometimes we think God will only speak through those who hold fast to what we ourselves believe. But from this reading we see that God uses people on the outside too to carry out his will. So it's worth reminding ourselves that there are many thousands of ordinary people outside of our churches who are active agents of God's grace to other people. The Church of England, of which I am a member, once asked Richard Stilgo and Peter Skellen to write some songs to help us see ourselves as we can sometimes be. So they wrote this classic about a lady who's quite set in her ways, called Mrs. Beamish. Before you hear it, I ought to explain to those who aren't churchgoers that there's a part in our services where members shake hands and pass on a prayer for the peace of Christ to fill one another. Passing the peace is just what upsets Mrs. Beamish in this song. That and the fact that a trendy vicar has just been appointed who wants to change things. Here is Stilgo and Skellen singing Mrs. Beamish.
Mrs. Beamish stands in church, expression calm and holy. And when the organ plays, she mumbles hymns extremely slowly. A pillar of St. Botolph's for 20 years or more. She does the flowers at Easter and the brasswork on the door. But recently St. Botolph's has gained a brand new vicar, His name is Ken, he's single and he wants the hymn sung quicker. And he's introduced a custom which Mrs. Beamish hates, so she rounds upon the person next to her and clearly states, "Don't you dare shake hands with me or offer signs of peace. You lay a finger on me and I'll send for the police." "Don't whisper, peace be with you. This is the C of E. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me." Ken tells us, "Love your neighbour," and Mrs. Beamish sneers, "I only love my neighbours if I've known them 30 years. Even when it isn't Christmas, he lets youngsters in the church. He's altered all the music after audience research." They shout out,
"Hallelujah!"
They don't act like me and you. The young women don't wear hats, and the young men quite often do. And they seem to like their hands enthusiastically wrung, till they turn to Mrs. Beamish and they feel her acid tongue.
"Don't you dare shake hands with me. I don't know where you've been. You lay a finger on me and you'll feel this tambourine. Don't whisper, peace be with you. This is the C of E. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me."
In the beginning was the word, read out loud by thought I heard. Harry Secombe then would scream, "Morning is broken by a stream. Now the organ's gone for scrap. Every vicar's got the c-."
Hallelujah, Mrs. Beamish, Mrs. Beamish. Hallelujah, she's squeamish, so squeamish. "Don't you dare shake hands with me, or turn to me and smile. You'll wake up spitting teeth out, face downwards in the aisle. Don't whisper, peace be with you, this is the C of E. You go just one inch too far, you'll end up wearing that guitar. One false step in my direction, you'll need to believe in the resurrection. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me."
It's so good and right that we can laugh at ourselves from time to time. We can all be a little intolerant, can't we? Inside and outside church, and whatever our faith. Shouldn't we be more tolerant of one another, though? One of the main lessons about tolerance is that we all have the right to our own point of view and the freedom to make our own choices, and we should respect this in one another. Unless, of course, the action leads to evil and destruction. A former colleague of mine died recently. I was so sad to hear of her death. Sadly, we were never really close and we never really got to know each other well. But we both served the same people together at church side by side. She was a lay reader. I was the curate there. She was a private person and quite independent, and I was always busy. But when I read her obituary the other day in the diocesan news, I was amazed to discover just how tremendously gifted she was. A truly compassionate person who had worked with great courage in trouble spots all around the world with the Red Cross. She was also highly respected as a consultant in the world of medicine and colonel-in-chief in the TA. How could I not have known about all this, I asked myself. I could have learned so much from her. She was truly focused, truly inspirational. This morning, I pay tribute to her, to Kate Clark. If only we could open our eyes and see others as God sees them and knows them. Here is a song called "Help Me See With Your Eyes."
Help me see with your eyes. Show me how to care. Help me love with your heart when it seems I've got none to share. And enter into my speaking. Let your loveliness flow from the center of my being. Let your love grow. Understand their pain, then I won't happiness flow. From the center of my being, let your love grow. From the center of my being, let your love grow. I want to speak out your wherever there's a need. Give me strength and courage, let me go wherever you lead. And when the dark clouds gather, let your spirit blow, sending hope into your sunshine as your love grows.
That song took me back to my college days. I sang then without really understanding its meaning. A very wise Jewish man was once confronted by a challenging question by Saladin, a famous Muslim leader, who asked him, "Which faith do you think is true, the faith of the Jew, the Muslim, or the Christian?" This is the answer the wise man gave, as told by William Barclay. A man possessed a ring set with a wonderful opal. Whoever wore the ring became so sweet and true in character that all men loved him. The ring was a charm. Always it was passed down from father to son, and always it did its work. As time went on, it came to a father who had three sons, whom he loved with an equal love. What was he to do when the time came to pass on the ring? The father got two other rings, made precisely the same, so that none could tell the difference. On his deathbed, he called each of his sons in, spoke some words of love, and to each, without telling the others, gave a ring. When the three sons discovered that each had a ring, a great dispute arose to which was the true ring that could do so much for its owner. The case was taken to a wise judge. He examined the rings and then he spoke. "I cannot tell which is the magic ring," he said, "but you yourselves can prove it." "We?" asked the sons in astonishment. "Yes," said the judge, "for if the true ring gives sweetness to the character of the man who wears it, then I and all the other people in the city will know the man who possesses the true ring by the goodness of his life. So go your ways and be kind, be truthful, be brave, be just in your dealings, and he who does these things will be the owner of the true ring." William Barclay goes on to add, "The matter was to be proved by life. No man can entirely condemn beliefs which make a man good. If we remember that, we may be less intolerant. We may hate a man's beliefs, but we must never hate the man. We may wish to eliminate what he teaches, but we must never wish to eliminate him." The second part of our gospel today says this in verses 49 to 50. "Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. For it's in simple loving kindness and humility that God's world can be preserved and its beauty truly appreciated. Here's For the Beauty of the Earth by the Cambridge Singers and City of London Sinfonia, conducted by Rutter himself. If our faith is troublesome and not pure, if it is aggressive and intolerant when it ought to be loving and full of peace, people will ultimately reject it, rather like salt that is thrown away when it loses its flavour or diluted. If we have allowed sin to rule our lives, we have also become contaminated salt and have lost our saltiness. We need to confess our sinful ways and pray that God will restore us. We need to bring everything to Him, especially those things that weigh heavily on our hearts. This next song is all about bringing our burdens to the cross where Jesus died. It's from Matt Redman's latest album, Unbroken Praise, and it's based on a very old hymn. It's called No Longer I.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now no longer I, but Christ in me. I will run to the cross where you opened up my eyes. I will sing of the love that saved me. I will bow in the place where your death became my life. I will run to the cross. Oh, how endless the hope. Oh, how empty the grave and the joy of a stone rolled away. It is there by grace I am raised to life. Now no longer I, but Christ in me. I will run to the cross where you opened up my eyes. I will sing of the love that saved me. I will bow in the place where your death became my life. I will run to the cross. Yes, I will run to the cross.
To a Christian, it's all about Jesus and not us. It's all about who I am in Him. Salt has wonderful properties. Its value in ancient times could not be underestimated. It was pure. It gave flavour to food. It was considered divine, even magical. It was a wage, a reward, a treasure as valuable as gold in its time. It was a preservative, preventing decay. We believe Jesus is all these things, and he invites us all to have this kind of salt among ourselves and to be at peace with each other. This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you today. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical expertise in bringing you this programme, and I do hope you'll join us next week. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. I'd like to leave you with the Cambridge Singers singing another of Rutter's compositions, To the Gaelic Blessing. Bye for now.